The Irish and Celtic Music Podcast, show number 363, Midsummer in Ireland with John Wilmot. Greetings, my friends. I'm traveling right now, so today starts 4 weeks of guest hosts on the Irish and Celtic Music Podcast. Each of the shows will be different from my usual format, and I think you're going to love the styles. John Wilmot is the host of this week's podcast, and I first met him on mp3.com in 2000. He was doing an amazing job promoting Celtic music. In 2008, he was the tour guide for the Brobdingnagian and Bard's second tour of Ireland. He's a fantastic storyteller with a love of Irish spirituality. He now runs Carrocrory Cottage and Labyrinth in Ballinafad, County Sligo, where he leads a variety of spiritual retreats in Ireland. Now, most of the tracks in this week's show are not mentioned during the broadcast, so if you want to find out who was played, please visit the show notes at CelticMusicPodcast.com. All of the songs are timestamped to make it easier for you to find out who was played. I do that with all my shows now. Nice, easy way to find out who's who in the show is to go to CelticMusicPodcast.com. Without further ado, here's John Wilmot's Midsummer Show.
I saw her on Street a Strand, etching letters in the wet sand with the feather that met her hand like a pencil fallen from the sky. At first it looked like she was writing love letters from the moon to the sun, the way the waves come to her commands and night rises slowly to swallow us, following the silhouettes we paint like barriers around ourselves into a deeper darkness, searching for light. When she started to sing, the sun's knees fell from beneath it as it gave in to the horizon, flinging its brush across the skies in ever-changing paintings of pure art. Stars of the universe emerge blinking from their beds, drawn to her voice like dolphins to the fisherman's oar. Lysidia fled from the dunes as Athena stalked Benbulben's boar, and even Jermyn turned his head to hear her sing once more. Evil eye, Lu stretched out his arm, Cú Chulainn threw his shoulders wide beside the Tú Chadán, lit up by fires burning bright from all across the land. There rose the spirits of the Glen whose souls had never died, and after them the mortal men came on to lead the fight. The Púcas and Fomorians within her pastures stood as Emmet cleared his throat and then addressed his brotherhood. Beru and Wolftongue came to them to forge as well they could the spears of ancient Ireland and oak carved from her wood. When Eru finished writing, she put her feather down, shook the weather from her hair, then slowly turned around to see that there beneath the mountain on every blade of ground, old Ireland as an army stood, her people gathered round, called from all directions by the siren of her sound.
Thank you.
Across the bay the lightning flashed in streaks above Slieve Lee, but undeterred the crowds amassed and gathered unfatigued to march from west upon the east, to waken from their sleep the men who suffered pain the least but soon would come to weep. And this at last she sang to them as waves lapped at her feet. Ocean washed her words away, and in the night she rode a horse as white as any wave to rest in Chernanogue. As to the pale they set their sails, and in the darkness sang the song of Eru and the tales of how their war began.
One of Ireland's most popular current living young poets, with Ireland's President Higgins being one of his enthusiastic fans. It was Stephen Murphy there, with Eriu, helped along by the passionate voices of Claire Maguire and Kate Albasis, and it comes from an album called Of Land and Man by McTire, M-A-C-T-I-R-E. De Wetch, everyone. I'm John Woolmer, compiling this podcast for you from the living room of Karakori Cottage here in rural County Sligo, Ireland. And Mark has asked me to compile this Midsummer edition for you. And there's no better way to continue, I think, than with our local lads and lass, Shane, Tom, Seamus, Brian, Michael, Liam, and Kathy Jordan. It's Real Time with Dervish and Midsummer Night. Let's go. Thank you. between the tree labyrinth garden and the herb spiral labyrinth garden, on a corroded but seasoned but warm solid bench, pondering, as I often do, at the kayak that's laying amongst the rolling shadowed hills of the parish of Caish. There lays the head, the breasted paps, and the womb of the Mourner Corricuan. So let me tell you about how she came to lay here. Once, before our time, before anybody's time, there was nought but ice here. But as the ice was melted by the warm, salty water, the triumphant ingrowing water, exploding against any rock face it touched, piercing and breaking through into the wombs within the mountains. Into this shadowed mountain that I now view, pounding in and out, as is natural for the moon-driven ebb and flow of water, descending and ascending into the womb of the woman, the kayak of the other world. A womb of growing water grew gently and thrust itself through the crust of this earth, growing and growing, and then became a presence upon this earth. That Mourner Corricuan, the moor that is bigger than infinity, and Corri the vessel, the cauldron of all life, and Cuin, the weaving, quiet weaving, of the debris of past life, past autumns, past falls. Through the quiet winter, it is weaving deep inside. And as the days start to lengthen, Onya's reflected light, welcomed by the shoreline birds, protecting the return of this light and life that is cupped into the hands of mist, wrapped into floating fleeced balls, gently carried by Onya's breath, and gently lowered down into the funnels of the swallow holes that is feeding the growing womb of the Mourner Corricuan within the mountain of Caish, the dark shadow that many today call the Morrigan. At the center point of time between winter solstice and vernal spring equinox, this is the time that the womb waters break. The cave, the vulva of the Mourner Corricuan, the Caish, the woman carrying life, the Caish na Corricuan, Caish Corriuan, Caish Corran, the woman of the Rowan carrying life, breaks her water through her vulva and creates a vast sea around her. Four serpents were born from her, and their slithing, wriggling bodies cut through the soil to form four rivers, later to be named by goddesses who were once girls of the Fae, harvesting pines of the north for Inshin, apple fruits of the east for Gronya, hazelnuts of the south for Shonan, and hawthorn fruits of the west for Brige. Their spirits returning to us through the mists, lifting from the sea, blown in by the breeze, and dropped into the swallow holes again, to be woven into the birth of the following spring. And this is the time of the center of Aquarius, the astrology sign Aquarius. It's the time of the water bearer, the symbol of Aquarius, and the rising of the Turlock waters, the waters that are now free from the womb. This is the birth of Brige, the birth of Brigid, and each Imbolc time we celebrate it, to welcome the seeding and serving of this new infant life through every seed, every plant, every tree, every bird, every animal, and ourselves, that were born into the spring again. But is now midsummer, and first harvest will be with us soon.
Come gather round, children of the wilderness and daydreams, from the rugged land of the lofty pine to the great rolling and fertile plains. Will I not lend an ear to the sway of forgotten tongues, a most puzzling of journeys many poets and travellers will tell? For this here tale is of adventure from a time long, long ago, all about a pondering child called Wonder. Misty but potent legends recall that he did once drink from a wishing well. Deep and dreaming was his spirit from the moment he was born. Full of play was the child who lived for the sparkle of his mother's eyes, that danced in merriment like the rising sun of a sweet, sweet summer's morn. For many are the ways that awaken the song of the blessed gift of life. Now one day, whilst out a-walking through the ancient forest of abundance, where the old cunning fox, the enchanted elves and the fairies hide, on the ever restless wind, Wonder heard a strange voice lamenting of love and wisdom, and the lost and hallowed art of the game called Seek and Find. For far away in your heart lies a winding road that'll twist and turn, leading far beyond the walls of your mind. Dear child, like sparrowhawk you are, but never will you soar above the sharp peaks of the heart be deserted on the sacred earth, feeling empty and left behind. Of this soothing voice, for full of flight and mischief did tickle the butterflies within, leaving Wonder numb of wits and without the ability of making choice. Racing deeper and deeper amongst the vast and ancient forest, spellbound to the air of the guiding and calming call, when from far beyond the distance emerged an almighty thunder from the gaping mouth of a mighty roaring waterfall. It bellowed louder and louder with every lightsome step. The tempest bowed his head in shame, for such was the force of the torrent shake that rumbled forth a curious vision unto Wonder, a whispering from the realms of the second sight, where he did gaze upon a mysterious land renowned far and wide as the fabled kingdom of the Crystal Lake. Lost in strange perception cold of his senses, the boy crossed beyond the forbidden boundary stone, where lay a forgotten village of a peaceful people skilled in charms and lore, where elders and chiefs sit round the fire in council, reciting epic stories and legends of giants of renown who walked the sacred mountains many icy winters before.
Oh,
without verse nor scarcity of craft, with pine songs of heroes and pathfinding braves, where rainbow warriors would battle their shadows to free their hearts in its secret ways. For coiled in this sanctuary lies in hiding a gift, a secret trail full of questions and thought, where the rainbow warrior must clamber and toil to give breath to his dreams before they wither and rot.
Do we have labyrinth gardens here at Karakorari? Why do I ask all wisdom hunters, let X mark their spot to karakorarycottage.com and follow a story that I am about to share with you now. Our nearby Moana Corricuan once had quite a challenge trying to bore our goddess breed of seeding abundance at Imbolc. What I did not bring into the story before is the wooing, copulation, and ignition of life that spreads all life through our precious earth each year. Do we think of the earth as mother? If so, what about the sea as father? Lursun Manandan rolled the waves and protected those who rolled with them to get to their destination safely. Manandan was father of several sons. He swam up the river we now call Brige, disguised as a salmon, and seeded the Mona Coracuan within her womb. Within the loch, within the hill, now of Caish. Then each spring, these new sons were born, floating from her womb, along the Brige River, and into the sea of men. As these sons grew, the October storms raised above them from the still warm sea waters and carried them on the clouds and landed them onto the hill, now of Connaught and Breffni. Recognized by the white hair from the surf waves of their father's sea, the blue eyes from the deep water of their father's sea, a fairy race, we are now told, who entered the fair hills, penetrating the swallow holes into the wombs of what we now call the fairy hills, the Knockshees around our part of Ireland. The Doida was one of the sons, known as Dagda to many of you, weary as he was dropped into the hill and was swallowed into the womb of the inside of the Mona Coracuan. The life seeds of the Doida's love stick flowed into and around the womb's lock of the Mona Coracuan, and then he slept. When he awoke, he was touched by the curious touch of a little girl, born from his seed, from the Coracuan womb, in only 4 months. Her face, hair and eyes full of life and light, and Doida's heart, focus, spirit and lust was full again. And beside the Mona Coracuan, there was a tree that had always been barren, was now bearing blossoms. Later that year, when that tree's branches were abundant, the Doida cut some of those tree branches and made a vulva-shaped frame and wove in bronze strings gifted by his brother Cian that had been made by his lover Ethna. And he attached a box of willow gifted by his brother Omer that echoed wind and water that passed through. When this vulva frame, echoing willow box, and vibrating strings were assembled, a vital passion throwed and flowed through the Doida. His hands joined the wind and plucked the strings to share the vibrations of the Coracuan, and the people around him danced. It became the healer of any wounded warrior, the comforter of any aching woman, and gentling refrain over rippling water. Sweet-sounding music rising from the underworld, and he called his instrument of the Coracuan, later the Coran, later the Cruet, later the Harp, with the name of Ethne, who had made the strings after Cian had wooed her. The wood of this vulva from the tree inside the Coracuan was later known as Coran, and today the Rowan tree. When thick clouds covered the sky, and when the Doida played his Ethna of the Coran, the people around him cried. They cried in celebration of a good summer and a good harvest past. And when the days became shorter, the Doida played his Ethna of the Coran and returned back to the world of dreaming. And thus formed was the cycle of the three strains of the bard. The three trees connected the joyful Gion tree, the soulful morning Gold tree, and the dreaming, sleeping, weaving Soul tree. No human could lead, preach, be chieftain, be king, or queen without the gift of the Coracuan, the Cruet, the Harp. With hands to weave, performing the trees, these connecting strains of living, from birth to harvest to fallowing. The father fallen from the clouds above, the mother broken through the crust of the earth below, the leaves, the roots, and the water between, the jig, the reel, the lullaby, linking the unseen, so we can dance, ponder, and dream.
Fairies, come take me out of this dull world, for I would ride with you upon the wind and dance upon the mountains like a flame. Come away with me and gaze upon a merrier multitude and their land of heart's desire, where beauty has no ebb, decay no flood, but joy is wisdom, time an endless song. I kiss you when the world begins to fade. Come to the woods and waters and pale lights, but clinging mortal hope must fall from you. For we who ride the winds, run on the waves, and dance upon the mountains are more light than dewdrops on the banner of the dawn. Come with me, little bird. Come, little bird with crest of gold. Come, little bird with silver feet. wind blows out of the gates of the day. The wind blows over the lonely of heart, and the lonely of heart is withered away. While the fairies stands in a place apart, shaking their milk-white feet in a ring, tossing their milk-white arms in the air. Or they hear the wind laugh and murmur and sing of a land where even the old are fair, and even the wise are merry of tongue. But I heard the reed of Killarney say, when the wind has laughed and murmured and sung, the lonely of heart is withered away.
If you would love to spend some time here in Ireland, bathing in the fae's world of green, mysterious woodlands of Middle-earth, foraging the seashores, pondering into ancient sacred water wells, performing alchemy with the healing and nourishing plants that are here, dreaming within the labyrinth gardens that we have here at Carrickrory, or chatting over tea and scones under the thatch of our restored cottage. And I'm sure you would enjoy a fireside, Cayley, with stories, songs and harps. Being here is much more than travelling around to fill your photo album, because here we have experiences. You will have experiences here that will beautifully ground and enlighten your life forever. So all you have to do is go to carrickrorycottage.com and message me from there. And please, tell me that you would like to be here, and together let's see how we can make this happen for you. CarrickroryCottage.com. Thank you for listening to these few favourite tunes and songs of mine. And I'm John Wilmot, and the local people nickname me the Woodland Bard. And I will leave you with love and blessings for all of you. So onward we go with this little bit of fun.
Oh, there isn't very much room on a mushroom.
Mushroom!
There isn't very much room there at all.
At all.
And the toadstools that I get are all slippery and wet. They get so slimy that they always make me fall off. No, there isn't very much room on a mushroom.
Mushroom!
And toadstools, well, they always make me scream. It's like sitting on a slug. If you gave a slug a hug, you'd know just exactly what I mean. Ugh, slimy, there isn't very much room on a mushroom.
Mushroom!
I'd rather have a rocking chair at home.
In my home.
Or a sofa or a stool. I find them, as a rule, much more comfy than a mushroom for an oak. No, there isn't very much room on a mushroom. I don't know why they always paint us sitting there.
Up there
on that big red ugly thing with spots, with our legs all tied in knots, when we'd really much rather sit on a chair.
On a chair.
You see, there isn't very much room on a mushroom.
Mushroom.
It's like riding on a camel with a hump. You can sit there for a minute, but if you're on it and not in it, well, very soon you're going to come off with a bump.
Bum, 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 bum.
No, there isn't very much room on a mushroom.
Mushroom!
The very sight will often make us groan. Give me a settee or a chair, for gnomes all agree that they're much more comfy than a mushroom for a gnome. Now, fairies, well,
they're something altogether.
Altogether.
Something altogether different again.
Again, again.
Well, they sit around in flowers for hours and hours and hours, and they're little, and they haven't got much brain.
Not got much brain, no.
You might see a fairy sitting on a mushroom.
Mushroom.
You might see a fairy sitting on a stone. It don't matter where they sit, 'cause they haven't got much wits. But it's a different matter when it comes to gnomes. For there isn't very much room on a mushroom.
Mushroom.
So I do not have a mushroom of my own.
My own.
It's not the custom now among us to sit down on a fungus. There isn't much room on a mushroom for a gnome.
Fyfen her thi, byw byw awen hyd, thwed y byd. I am Taliesin, chief bard to the greatest of all the kings and queens in the north. My muse will sing until the end of the world. I am Taliesin, and I know secrets. Why a cow is horned, what makes a woman affectionate? Why fish have scales? Why berries are red? Why a swan is white, though it has black feet? I know why. Why night falls, and the sun rises, and the stars turn forever in the ice wind. I know where the cuckoos of summer are in winter. What beasts there are at the bottom of the sea. How many spears in a battle? How many drops in a shower? Why a river drowned the Pharaoh's people? I know why. Taliesin I am, and I've been through it all, in every form. I've been a stock, a spade, an axe in the hand, a tool in a smithies for a year and a half. For 3 years I was a white, dappled cockerel amongst the hens of Dean Aden. For 2 more, a stag on the mountains above the ford to Aldcluith. In the land of Trun, there was a grain of corn sown on the hillside. The harvester reaped me and baked me in a kiln. I fell to the ground and a hen swallowed me. For 9 days and nights, I lay warm in her womb. I have been a man. I have been a dog. I have been alive. I have been dead. Taliesin I am, bard premier to the greatest of all the queens and kings in the north. And my muse will sing until the end of the world.
Here we go. In a wise diviner's hand, the forked hazel stretched apart, feeling, sensing what's beneath our vibrant land. Sensing the living waters carving an alignment chart of its flow from our divine earthly heart. The hazel wand tracing the thread of the veil, guiding the diviner's trust as it casts its spell We pass slowly, silently through this Darrow Vale, trusting, anticipating this always miracle, finding that point where the living waters becomes a well. Hazel is a mercurial spirit, a wise sprite, a bringer of insight, and flashes of inspiration invites us to discover many things. Entering into the dreaming within the forest, the hazel tree sang to me, touched me with his fragrant fingers, stroking my dream, calming my dream, and closing the wounds of blood that had clouded my dream. And breathing air touched by the hazel, charged with quicksilver energy, charged me with exhilaration and inspiration. Hazel charged my spirit to pulsate, a catalyst, a transformer, a bar to relate ways to crack any situation, like cracking a hazelnut shell to feed from its nourishment inside. Oh, that pure nourishment, pure goodness, pure knowledge, in a nutshell, all of the ways of wisdom that we can pass on. And I was now the diviner. I had discovered my source of language, poetry, and music, of course. And mystics say, anyone born under the sign of the hazel must never ever hoard their treasures. Its nuts, the fruits of knowledge, must be shared for learning and for pleasure. And play with the thoughts and dreams of others, from social causes to capricious lovers, but be careful. Word wizardry can cut. Remember, your wisdom is inspired by a nut. We got there. I'll take that.
The Irish and Celtic Music Podcast is produced by Mark Gundy, Celtfather. To subscribe, go to Apple Podcasts or to our website, where you can become a patron of the podcast for as little as $1 per episode. Promote Celtic culture through music at CelticMusicPodcast.com.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's pair.com.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.